The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goertz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Friday. We are back, baby. Yes, we are back. Finally in the studio on the air from 2 to 4 p.m. here on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, with you for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. Alongside me in the studio, back once again, your favorite uncle. It's Uncle T-Bone. Man, it's great to see you once again. It's been a week since we've been on the air. It's been even longer for you.
It's been ridiculous. I mean, I was driving over here to the radio station, and ESPN 106.7, baby, Auburn Opelika. Glad to be back. Just couldn't. It was like, what's the quickest way to get back over to the radio station? How do I navigate over there by Kroger? Should I go down? I mean, I'm just completely discombobulated. Like, I've never been over here before.
I know.
And we've only been, I've been gone a little bit longer than a week, but the show's been off air, and I don't know if everyone knows what happened, but, last Saturday, Jacob, a lightning strike hit the radio station and put us out of commission.
I mean, wiped us out, buddy. Wiped us out for being going on a week, and it's been insane. And we've done our best to keep you informed. We've done our best to keep you up to date on what is going on and what's been happening. But yeah, as you mentioned, we were wiped out for numerous days from the storms that rolled through last Saturday. A lightning strike hit the station somewhere, and pretty much anything that has power got hit. And, I mean, equipment was wiped out, computers were wiped out, I mean, everything. It was unbelievable. We were able to salvage a lot of the equipment, and when I say we, I'm talking our engineers, I'm talking our tech guys. I mean, from Terry to Riley to Lee, I mean, those guys have been working nonstop since
24/7.
Yeah, pretty much since Sunday morning. They've been going nonstop. It's unbelievable. So we really do. We appreciate everybody that has stuck with us and been understanding, because it was all six of our radio stations at one point, and then the four originals here at Auburn Network: ESPN, WANI, W Lee, and Wings. So we've got all those back and running. Everything's good to go. We're back up. We're back like we never left. And boy, do we have things to talk about. We've been off the air for a week, and there's been so much that has happened that we need to catch up on. We got Auburn football things to talk about with game times. We've got some news in Athens where they've got some things scheduled we need to get to as well. We also have Auburn basketball news with preseason top 25s. The roster's been completed. We have golf news to talk about. Auburn is a golf school once again. So all of that and more to talk about on the show today. Unfortunately, I do have to say this, unfortunately, due to the weather, due to the lightning and some of the equipment that did not survive, was our phone lines. And so for the time being, we do not have phones. I know that's unfortunate, but it is what it is. We're back on the air and very thankful for that. And so for right now, there are no phone lines, so you can't call in. But what you can do, you can tweet at me. Okay, you can tweet at me if you're on Twitter, at Goins, the number 2, Jacob. That's G-O-I-N-S, the number 2, J-A-C-O-B. Tweet us at there, your comments, questions, anything you'd like to say, as we are working to get a text box set up and getting that up and running. But for right now, you can tweet at us there, at Goins to Jacob. And so we have a lot to get to, Uncle T-Bone. Let's dive into this thing. And I want to start on the golf side, because that's where Auburn is now a national champion. They've added another championship to the trophy case in the athletics department, and Auburn men's golf, for the first time in program history, just a couple of days ago, saw it snow in downtown Auburn thanks to their big national championship victory over Florida State. What a huge accomplishment for Auburn men's golf.
Yeah, taking down Florida State out in Carlsbad, California, in the national championship matchup 3-2. It was a nail biter. It was nerve-wracking, and that's what true match play is, the essence of it. It's up and down, and you just have to grind through it. It was one of the most impressive last 18 that I've seen in golf in a long time. By the Butler kid, John Marshall Butler takes care of business for Auburn, closing Florida State out, I believe 2-0. And, golly, I can't remember that. Beat Luke Clanton. That's a really good golfer.
That's a really good golfer.
This kid, man, this Butler kid, he's just like my new hero. I mean, this guy has nerves of steel,
yeah.
Jacob.
Yeah.
Not that he just went out and took care of business in the biggest moment of probably his career, and maybe in Auburn golf history, winning the very last match of the season to win the national championship for your team. They get him on afterwards in the interview on the Golf Channel. I believe it was Jim Gallagher Jr. I'm not sure. I have to go back and check that. And they're like, hey, you know, what were you feeling like those last four or five holes coming down the stretch? I mean, you know, it's a lot of pressure and whatnot. And he's like, you know, to be honest, I didn't feel anything.
I've been preparing
for this moment my entire life, is what he said.
Isn't that awesome?
Cold-blooded killer. That's who you want on your team in any athletic event. I was just so impressed. Some of the quotes that I've seen from Nick Clenard, the head coach over there, is just, the kid's just full of guts. You can't teach that. He's the hardest worker, one of the hardest workers we ever had. He's over there. There's articles where he describes going every day to Jordan-Hare Stadium and running steps.
God. As a golfer.
As a golfer. Physically and mentally super tough.
That's awesome. I love it.
It's just fantastic to see.
It's what you have to have if you want to go and win a national championship, and that's exactly what Auburn did. And they were, of course, behind Koivin, their star-studded freshman, and he was the one that got them to the national championship match. And then, yeah, as you mentioned, down the stretch there, it was others involved as well. And I told Doug this yesterday on his show on the Max Roundtable. I was downtown when it happened, when Auburn Golf won the national championship. And let me tell you this. I said this yesterday, and I'll say it again. I did not expect there to be more than 50 people, maybe, and one or two trees rolled downtown Toomer's Corner. It looked like a post-football game. That's awesome. It looked like. Every tree was covered. There were hundreds, if not thousands, of people in downtown Auburn at Toomer's Corner. They were flooding out of the bars. They were flooding out of the restaurants, coming out of their cars, people leaving their vehicles on the curb just to get to Toomer's Corner and roll the trees for a men's golf national championship. And people are saying it that way, and I said it that way too, and I don't want it to come off as, oh, it's only men's golf. Like, it's another sport. It's a sport at Auburn that just brought in its first ever national championship. And a point that I made yesterday that I want to make again today is the fact that it gave Auburn fans something to be excited about, something to cheer about this spring, where, of course, the baseball season was a disappointment Softball got knocked out pretty early in their postseason. The men and women's golf teams have given Auburn fans a little bit of excitement and got them going a little bit going into the summer, as we are now 92 days away from Auburn football kicking off, and I think that's something that's really special.
I'll put it like this. We needed that.
It's a great
way. We needed that really badly.
Basically what I'm saying, yeah.
I mean, the football season was up and down like you imagine when you got the first year blues of a new head coach. You know, most seasons Auburn's been very fortunate in a couple of first years to go undefeated under Terry Bowden, to go to a national championship with Gus Malzahn and Nick Marshall at quarterback back in 2013, where they probably should have won that game too, Florida State. And this football season, I'm not going to say it was a disappointment, but there were some bitter moments.
Oh, no doubt.
There's moments that ripped your hearts out. The loss to New Mexico State, then what happened against Alabama. I'm not even going to discuss it. And then the bowl game against Maryland. It left a bitter taste in Auburn fans' mouth. And then basketball came around and got everybody back up. A very disappointing, heartbreaking end. Another bitter loss.
That was disappointing.
That was ridiculous to lose to Yale like that. Baseball never just kind of was a failure to launch in SEC play this year. And so Auburn was kind of down, man. Softball kind of got the shaft, having to go down to Florida State
and take on
that game that they lost in the season could have gone a different way on a particular pitch that didn't get called a strike.
Yeah, you better believe it.
Awful. Talk about home cooking. It's just like, you know, we're not ever going to win for losing. you know, and I'm not saying Auburn's a bunch of losers by any means, but that's just how it feels as an Auburn fan oftentimes, and then here comes men's golf.
Boom, and they got it done, and Auburn was all behind them. It was really cool to see on social media and through different channels where everybody was excited. Everybody was tuned in and ready to go. Yeah, fired up for Auburn men's golf. So congratulations to them, man. That is really, really cool to see. That was a cool thing to be a part of down there downtown. What was that now? Wednesday night, right? I think it was Wednesday night that they were able to. All my days have been completely thrown off. Between Memorial Day on Monday and then what this craziness week has been, my days are all. It's Friday. Can you believe it? Free for all Friday. I mean, you had to remind me this morning when I woke up that it's actually a Friday afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, what day is it? What time is it? That's how I've kind of felt like in the twilight zone.
I'm telling you.
But this Butler kid, this James Marshall Butler kid who closed it out, I mean, he is completely anti-Jabba. And to go out like he did, here's some of these other quotes
anti-Jabba
that he had after just taking care of business against Florida State and just shoving it down their throat and saying, we're the national championship this time, Knowles, not you. The anchor match was nothing new, Butler said on the 17th green. This is just a few minutes after clinching the match. Jacob, it was like he hadn't even broke a sweat either. He took that 8-iron that he hit straight at the pin to close that bad boy out.
Went after it.
Quote, we went undefeated in match play all year, and we were just sticking to what we knew.
That's awesome.
I mean, this kid is just a maniac.
Are your hair sticking up on your arms out there?
So, I mean, the positive momentum that something like this can cause moving forward.
Sure.
I don't think you can discount it.
No.
And Auburn fans have come up for air. You know, okay, we can close stuff out. Okay, in a sport, we can take care of business. Okay, we can be mentally tough enough to be a national championship.
Yeah.
You know, to win a national championship.
And be champions. And you know what's cool about
and
that,
act
too?
Like it, and let's see if we can carry that into the fall.
The big-time coaches were involved around this. Bruce Pearl was saying things. Hugh Freeze was involved on social media congratulating, right? And so, sure, maybe it will. Maybe it will feed into other sports and go into the summer and get people excited. And, of course, we're going to be here throughout the summer and got a lot of Auburn football things to talk about today to get you kind of excited for that. Another golf story that we've yet to have a chance to talk about this week, it's not on the college side, but one of the biggest stories of the year so far was the entire Scottie Scheffler situation. And we won't talk about it long. We're coming up against a break. A reminder, phone lines are down. So phone lines are not open today. We apologize. And that will be the case for the foreseeable future. I don't know the timetable on that, but you can tweet at me at Goins2Jacob. Your thoughts, Uncle T-Bone, about Scottie Scheffler. Charges dropped. And some statements were made. Statements were made by the arresting officer. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, he wished him well. How nice was that? He wished him well on his way as he dropped the charges and Scottie Scheffler walks away a free man, as most videos show that he really was.
Yeah, we called that one. You just kind of had – this didn't have the feels to it that, like, this thing was completely overblown. From the moment I woke up and I saw the headlines that misrepresented the actual situation. It said something about ESPN, patron has been killed, Scottie Scheffler arrested. You know, it's like, what in the world's going on? It was like
right.
Just completely overblown. But the police officer in question here didn't even – when it came out that he hadn't even turned on his camera, his body cam, and was being reprimanded for that, you knew it was over. And luckily – for Scottie, and probably for the Louisville Police Department and the city of Louisville itself, there were other videos that came to light. A police officer dash cam, another patron had a video, and basically it just completely shut out everything that the officer had said in the police report.
Well, there was a video on the pole too, on the light pole across the road.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, in the whole part where he said he was dragged and rammed, just complete BS.
Yeah, I mean,
and you know,
it was,
thank goodness there were videos there. And man, I hate to be like this, but what if there had not been? And what if this was Joe Blow, me or you? And it's our word against a police officer and the entire force, and other police officers aren't going to say he wasn't rammed, he wasn't dragged, and the judge is going to look at all this and be like, you hit a cop, you're going down.
which was basically the initial response, right? When Scottie Scheffler got arrested, it was, yeah, you're this guy. When the reporter was there trying to ask some questions and get some clarification, the officer was like, nope, he's going to jail. There's nothing
in the
you can do about it.
Yeah, and so I have to ask, I mean, I'm sorry to say this, but in how many other situations, not just in Louisville, but in other situations around the country, have just regular people gotten the shaft by the word of a police report because a cop was having a bad day?
And on top
and
of
I'm
this...
And I'm a back-to-blue guy, don't get me
sure.
wrong. I'm not some kind of rebellious, the police are bad, dude. That's ridiculous. I was raised to respect officers of law, respect authoritarian figures. But you've got to wonder... You know, this Officer Gillis, how many other people has he given the shaft to on his police report?
And the thing, of course, that makes this just so even more drastic and dramatic was the fact that it was the number one golfer in the world who was going in to play his second round of a major tournament.
The number one golfer in the world who none of these police knew who he was.
And nobody knew who he was. He's claimed the most boring man in golf.
And I said this the day that it happened. And when this all came out, I would have the devil in me. I'd be lawyering up. And Scottie Scheffler is nothing but a class act.
You better believe it.
And he's like, look, it's all good. Louisville police, you're great. Just want to move on. No hard feelings.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you he steps up and does something special for that force.
You think so?
Oh, no question. Probably like, at least sending the guy some new pants.
Oh, goodness. Well, let's get to our first break here in hour number one. Man, it's good to be back. It is good to be back on the air here on Auburn and Opelika. We'll take our first break here in hour number one. So many more things to catch up on here on the Friday edition of On the Line. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Back inside the studio here at ESPN 106.7, it is the Friday edition of On the Line. He's Uncle T-Bone, and I'm Jacob Goins. Well, other than us not being here, is everything going all right for you, Uncle T-Bone, in your life? I mean, it's been... You know, 6 months that you've been on the radio, people have to at least recognize you and hopefully they remember who you are. I mean, it's been so long since you've been in this studio.
Let me tell you what, Jacob, if I had a tail, I'd be wagging. Everything's going great.
Well, can you believe that tomorrow is June 1? How about that?
No, I cannot. I actually was having a discussion about this earlier with someone, and this month has just flown by.
I'm telling you. I mean, we're 5 months into 2024.
Let me tell you what, in just a little bit, you're going to blink an eye and you're going to be in Dallas, Texas for SEC Media Days.
Yep.
And then and football season is just right around the corner.
Oh, it's on. That's
so
I mean,
enjoy the summer. Shoot. Take a deep breath or whatever you're going to do this summer.
You talking to me?
And then, I mean, it'll be like tomorrow. The toe will be hitting leather over there in Jordan-Hare Stadium.
We're 92 days away from kickoff. 92 days from August 31st. College football's back before then.
Good to see that first game's a night game against Alabama A&M.
Yeah,
a little disappointed we got ESPN Plus on that.
Well, each SEC team gets one. You get one of those streaming games.
Get it out of the way.
Every team will play on that SEC Network Plus or ESPN Plus or whatever it is.
What'd you think about the 2:30 kickoff against Cal on ESPN2?
I think it's ridiculous. The fact that Auburn had to travel to California, they had to play at 9 o'clock at night, our time, play under the lights. Not that California's a hardcore atmosphere, but you flew all the way out there.
Those fans were getting after it pretty good.
Yeah, and hung around all day long and waited to play that game. It didn't get done until 2 o'clock in the morning, your time. That's ridiculous. And Cal gets to fly out here and play at 12 o'clock their time. Give me a break. That's ridiculous. Auburn got screwed once again. Now, 2:30's fine. Second week of September, or I guess that's the first week of September.
First full week. Yes.
Going to be miserably hot, but I'll be in the press box, so it'll be fine. But for the fans, that's a miserable experience. It's better than the 11 a.m. game, but playing at 2:30 in the afternoon in September in the state of Alabama, we don't have to tell anybody here that that is a brutally hot experience. And I just don't understand how in one of the best SEC atmospheres in the – or not even SEC atmospheres, one of the best college football atmospheres in the country, and a game that will most likely never happen again in our lifetimes, Auburn and Cal inside of Jordan-Hare Stadium, and you're not going to allow that to be under the lights. Play the first game at 2:30 against Alabama A&M. Or make it 11 a.m. Who cares? The first three games, the only one that's somewhat exciting, and you throw it in the middle of the afternoon where everybody's going to be – sweating to death, and nobody's going to watch it.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think people will watch it. I'm going to pull up the week two schedule. I'll say this about the Heat. It will be super hot, but there have been times, Jacob, and I can remember one game in particular in 2010 when Clemson came to town and had Auburn down 17-7 in
national
championship season at halftime. And I had to leave that game at halftime because it was the hottest I felt ever in my life. And it was so humid. You remember, Jacob?
Oh, yeah.
Around here, it's not the heat, baby.
No, it's the humidity. If it wasn't humid, it
so
really wouldn't be
really
that bad.
I'm not worried about the heat of it at 2:30, although it'll be a scorcher. There's been night games, an LSU game a few years back.
I was just about to say, that's the one.
2016.
That is the most brutal game that I've ever been to. It was 2018, the Auburn-LSU game in 2018, when LSU kicked a field goal to win 22-21. Auburn had about 50 chances to win that game. It was so hot, Uncle T-Bone. The stadium, Jordan-Hare.
How hot was it?
Jordan-Hare Stadium ran out of water. Completely ran out of water. Didn't have bottles. You couldn't buy it. And my dad was one of the hundreds of people that passed out and had a heat stroke outside.
Was 18 the year? I thought 18 was the year that they didn't get the playoff in time.
No, that was 16. That's what you're thinking.
That's the game I left at halftime, a night game, and my oldest son was 6 years old, and I looked over, and his whole face was completely red, and I was like, we're out of here.
Yeah, that's 2016.
It was brutal hot at that game as well.
Yeah.
Week two, here's some of the games in the SEC. I guess why Auburn didn't get the little bit later kickoff. I'm not really understanding this. But Arkansas-Oklahoma State at 12 p.m. on ABC. That's kind of like the new premier time, folks. 12 p.m., get used to it. I don't like it. But
12 p.m. or that 6 o'clock night game on ABC.
On ABC or ESPN, really, too. Yeah. That's probably your third. Texas will be at Michigan. That game's on Fox at noon. McNeese State, Texas A&M gets 12:45. Okay, that's pretty brutal. Tennessee Tech and Georgia on SEC Plus, 2 o'clock. South Carolina and Kentucky get the 3:30 game on ABC. That's, I guess, that may be the SEC opener for all teams.
More than likely.
And then California, obviously, and Auburn at 3:30 Eastern. That's 2:30 our time. Middle Tennessee State and Ole Miss at 4:15. I would think that Cal, and that's on the SEC Network, so that's probably ESPN2 is a little bit more prestigious. South Florida and Alabama get the 6 o'clock ESPN.
Give me a break.
That was a really good game last year, and South Florida is not a bad team. Alabama might want to watch out.
Uh-oh.
Sanford, and then the rest of the game, Buffalo and Missouri, but that's SEC Plus. Sanford, Florida, SEC Plus. Nicholls State, LSU, SEC Plus. I can see why, and then ESPN News, Alcorn State, Vandy. The game of the week is North Carolina State. Golly, there's a lot of teams at SEC now. At Tennessee at 6:30.
Yeah, the list just keeps on going, man.
You know, maybe Houston and Oklahoma on the SEC Network. We should have been on the SEC Network, but I can see why they didn't put Auburn and Cal on the SEC Network, because Cal folks don't have the SEC Network. So you probably had to be on ESPN, and it just kind of looks like really and truly that's where that game should have fallen, unless you wanted to play the 9:30 game, Mississippi State at Arizona. Looks like Mississippi State's getting the treatment that Auburn got last year.
How do you think about this? I saw this the other day in the Big Ten, and I've just looked through it, and I think my team is correct. No, it's not. No, okay, I don't think there is any team in the SEC. I believe there are some teams around college football that have week two as a bye week. Because you get two bye weeks this year. You get two bye weeks every year, and I've seen teams around the country that have two, or they have, everybody has two, but week two of the season is their bye week. I don't think I like that. I don't think that's an advantage at all. I think that's a disadvantage. I mean, what are you going to fix after the first week? A lot, but you'd rather play a game than have a whole week off before you get to play another one.
The old saying from the purists that the team's going to improve the most in a season from week one to week two.
I think that's what they say.
I've never said it. I think it's a joke. But I'm with you. I think that's ridiculous unless you're going to have to play like Texas in week three and you want that extra week for preparation.
Sure, absolutely. Well, let's talk some more about this. Auburn kickoff times for the first three games announced, plus more kickoff times around the SEC, some of the biggest games early in the year. We'll talk about all that and more coming up here on the Friday edition of On the Line.
With Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into the hour number one, the first hour of the week here on ESPN 106.7 for Uncle T-Bone and I. Appreciate you all being with us. And again, we stress so much that we do appreciate everybody's support and hanging through with us this week and through all of our technical difficulties and the ones that will come after as well. We do appreciate everybody tuning in. And they missed us, Uncle T-Bone. People missed the shows, multiple, all three of our great shows, seven straight hours of local programming. It's been missed here in Auburn, Opelika.
Yeah, I mean, I got multiple phone calls and texts wanting to know what was going on. Were we off the air? Did you finally say something you shouldn't have said, Uncle T?
Yeah, did you get kicked off the radio?
If the SEC's after us, all this kind of stuff. My good friend Crawdaddy was one of the first. He's a loyal listener. Thank you so much for checking on us. Just got a couple of texts. One from our friend the Pitmaster saying,
"Yeah,
this is his exact words. You're gonna love this. Glad y'all are back on Buck."
Yes, I love it.
So
I love it.
Yeah, Nick Hayes over at Roots Real Estate giving us a shout out that we're back. He's going to be one of our sponsors for SEC Media.
Yeah,
Days.
Yeah, very excited
proud
about
partner
that.
Here yes. At ESPN 106.7. You know, we forgot our line.
It's the show that tells it like it is.
And holds nothing back. We are back. Unfortunately, the phones are not, so I'm not going to give the telephone number.
Yeah,
save it all up, Andy. Save it all up, Spectre. We miss you. We miss hearing from everybody.
Yeah.
Terry and, Dak and everybody.
Everybody.
Love you. We can't wait to get the phones back. But we needed to get the station running first.
Yeah, that was priority number one.
Running first.
Yeah.
And back on the airwaves. And we are, thank goodness. And then we'll work on the phones next. Apparently, it was Saturday afternoon. Mm-hmm. I was out of town.
Oh, I was here. It was.
Were you in the station?
No. Okay. I was at my house. My mom was still in town.
Okay.
And it was bad. Like thunder shaking the house, shaking apartments and stuff. Like, it was insane.
It was popping.
Oh yeah, like some of the worst I've seen in a long time. And you know how Auburn is. It floods when it rains.
Sure.
And I mean, it was just. It was coming down.
It was a monsoon, thunderstorm, hurricane, tornado,
everything into one.
Electrical storm mixed all into one. It sounded like a doozy. Unfortunately, I was out of town and missed it, and I was coming back into town Sunday afternoon, and automatically start, as I get closer, turn on ESPN 106.7, I was like, Houston, we got a problem.
Believe me, we were already on it. And again, shout out to all of our wonderful engineers and tech guys. I mean, it's above my...
We wouldn't be here without them.
You're right about that. Well, we got people tweeting at us, too. They've been on us all week and just, supporting and wondering where we are. Steven in Texas and our friend Jeff down in Enterprise. We appreciate those guys as well. So, again, no phone lines, but you can tweet at me, and I'll talk about it on the air. At Goins to Jacob. That's G-O-I-N-S, the number 2, J-A-C. OB, give us your thoughts and then stuff there. We'd love to hear from you. We're talking about the kickoff times for Auburn football that were announced yesterday. The first three games for Auburn have been announced, and this is really what gets us excited. Now we can start to really picture, okay, these are the games. This is what it's going to look like. Alabama A&M on August 31st, Saturday night in Jordan-Hare under the lights to kick off the season. That's a lot of fun. Cal, week two on September 7th at 2:30, and then the next week, September 14th, back under the lights at 6:30. I'll say this.
Against New Mexico.
Yes, against New Mexico. Two games under the lights at night in September, early September, sign me up. I love it. Now, for those of us that work these games and everybody over there,
sure.
It makes for a late night. There's no doubt about it. But for the fan perspective, kind of what we were talking about with the Cal game, man, night games are awesome. And Jordan-Hare Stadium Weird things happen when the sun goes down over there. Hopefully you don't need weird things to happen against Alabama, A&M, Cal, and New Mexico, but I'm excited about these, and I think Auburn should be excited about it. And Auburn fans should be excited about these first three games and at least the kickoff times that they got yesterday.
Obviously I feel like Auburn will be 3-0 pretty comfortably after those games. You know, we've talked about this a little bit already. And then host Arkansas to open up SEC play in 2024. I would imagine, who knows what time. It's going to take a couple of years of data and teams and playing at certain times for me to kind of get back in rhythm on being able to predict when Auburn is going to play on what channel and at what time, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a new era with ESPN, yeah.
And I was listening and texting with our good friend Doug Amos over there at 107.5 ESPN, The Ticket, Montgomery, on his show, the Max Roundtable. You can hear it here at 106.7, 11-2. And he was wanting me to come on and try and get a little bit warmed up since I hadn't been on air in a while and do my predictions for Auburn football this season, what the record would be. I'm not ready to go there yet.
Really?
Okay. I can. I'll talk about it. I'll dance around. I have not done my full homework. I'll do that more into June and be ready rock and roll after 4th of July with football season.
Yeah.
But I do feel comfortable that Auburn will be 4-0 after the first four games. And if they're not, it's going to be a long season.
Yeah, I mean, that should be the standard, right? That is, and the fact that anybody would question that to be the standard scares me, because I know that Arkansas gets Auburn every now and then. They get people every now and then.
They're not going to be any good this year.
You don't think so?
I wouldn't be surprised if they're the worst team in the SEC this year other than Vanderbilt.
Mm.
Vanderbilt may actually be a little bit better. They got the quarterback from New Mexico State who came in here and threw it all over us like Joe Montana last football season. And they got their head coach, Jerry Kill, who's a heck of an offensive mind. Mm-hmm. And he's just a consultant up there. So they may have a little bag of tricks for Auburn. You know, Auburn beat up on Vanderbilt pretty good up in Nashville last year. But when Peyton Thorne threw that pick six, that game that pivoted really quick.
Flipped really quick. And, we were watching that game together.
Yeah, over at my house. We had a chili cook-off that day. And phenomenal. Having a great time until that happened. And then late in the game, we're kind of holding on for dear life.
Yeah, everybody had kind of started walking off and, you know, doing their own thing.
We got this one. No, and then, ain't no way we're going to lose.
And then it was like, whoa, wait a minute. We all watched the Peyton Thorne pick, and it's like, oh, no, here we go, right?
Yeah, and we can't have that happen again. And I don't think it will. And that surely can't happen in the first four games. But if you look back last year, California should have beat Auburn.
California should have beaten Auburn in that game by two touchdowns. They should have won outright no matter what. But they had every opportunity to win by two scores.
Yeah, and then Auburn just crushed Arkansas.
Big time.
Arkansas is on the ropes. Sam Pittman's career is on the ropes.
It was a shock to me that he's still there, I'll be honest.
You know, these are the type of decisions I think teams are having to make a little bit tougher choice on in today's college football world, because there's only so many dollars to go around.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he's got a buyout, and you got to buy players. Are you really going to be that better off giving Sam Pittman, I don't know what his buyout is, $15 million, or just keeping him around for one or two more years just to see if he can stabilize things and maybe get it back going?
Well, it goes back to
a program like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a pretty easy decision.
It gets back to the age-old question of, okay, how long does a new head coach have? How long does he have to turn a program around? And unfortunately, I don't think it's fair, but I think in this new era of college football, it's gotten shorter. I mean, you've got two or three years. If you don't show progress in year two and start winning some serious games in year three, you're done. You're out.
I wonder, though, if it's what type of program it is.
Okay, what do you mean?
Like, if Kalen DeBoer goes up to Wisconsin and loses up there.
In week three, I believe.
Week three, and has a tough go at it against South Florida, who's not a bad football team at home the week before. And then I don't know what their schedule looks like. After
Western Kentucky, South Florida at home, at Wisconsin.
Then they get a break.
Then they get Georgia.
And then they host Georgia, and Georgia comes into Tuscaloosa and crushes them. And they're 2-2. Yeah, your theory right there, it holds tight. Mm-hmm. But if you're walking into Arkansas, and what are they right now, honestly? Not historically as a program, but in true, where would you rank them right now in the SEC? I'd have them near the bottom, maybe next to last, or next to next to last.
I mean, I'd put them probably, if you broke it up into thirds, I'd put them at the top of the bottom third.
I mean, I just, you know, do you think Florida would beat them this year? South Carolina? Kentucky? Yes,
yeah.
Yes. The only teams that I think I would give them a true favorite as would be against Vanderbilt and Mississippi State.
That's probably about right.
Okay.
Yep.
And so, say they get rid of Sam Pittman this year. They're the 14th out of 16th at best, all right, if they have to fire Sam Pittman in the league. And look who's in the league now.
Well, that's the problem, too, right. That they just ran into.
And so,
yeah.
You've got these fans and some of these – and they're fans, and I know how fans act because I'm one of the worst and best fans you'll ever see at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde with Uncle T, baby.
And, it's up and
I
down.
I love to hate them, and I hate to love them.
That's right.
And but some of these programs that just have had zero success for the most part in football in a very long time are going to have to face the facts and reality. Mm. And that's hard for fans to do. And they're going to be like, look, I don't know who we're going to get, but we're Arkansas. We got very fortunate to get John Calipari in basketball. They will not get the equivalent in football. Sorry, won't happen.
But I'll push back on that just a hair, and I think that you can if you're Arkansas. I think you can go find that diamond in the rough and go find that new head coach because the playing field now is more level. It's not the dominant one person can just dominate like Nick Saban at Alabama did,
right.
Where you have just once you've mastered it, you're just the guy and nobody else even stands a chance. I mean, with not just
there's
NIL,
a lot of money up there in Northwest Arkansas.
I mean, there's enough money.
There's a pile of it.
And look what they're doing to their facilities and even other sports. I mean,
right.
Baseball and basketball, like they're putting money into that university, into that athletics department. And where I'm getting at here is the playing field is being leveled more and more each and every day. Not just transfer portal and NIL, but look at the legislation and the lawsuit that was just passed. Each school is going to have like $20 million of their revenue to go buy players. Like, Arkansas can take $20 million out of their profit that they make from football every year, and they can go buy the best of the best. And so you can bring in a coach now that doesn't have to be the next Nick Saban. He just has to be solid.
Yeah, I think a lot of schools like Arkansas, I don't know what their NIL looks like. I'm not going to say I'm an expert on that. I do know you got the Walton family up there, Walmart. You got Tyson Foods. I mean, they have some heavy, heavy hitters behind them. But – that being said, if their NIL isn't strong, say you're Missouri, and you got Eli Drinkwitz, a diamond in the rough, okay? He's solid right now.
Sure.
So maybe that Ohio State job opens up, or maybe that Michigan-type job opens up again, and he's an automatic candidate. He's gone. Are you going to go 2-for-2 on diamonds in the rough? And if you're Missouri, who probably has a weaker NIL than Arkansas does, right? You know, and everybody, the playing field is level, but everybody has money to throw around. And if you're a Missouri-type team and you don't have a strong NIL and you got to use some of that football money to support other programs in your athletic department, you're at a disadvantage.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I do. I think that's a really good point.
I could see Arkansas saying, throwing down the gauntlet, we're tired of being tired. We're tired of being bad. Uncle T, you're wrong. We're a big boy. And putting together a $50 million pot and trying to go hire Kirby Smart Jr.
Sure. That's what they did in basketball.
But basketball and them is a little bit different from football. But I could also see them continuing to go look at the Sam Pittmans of the world. And who was that guy who was our offensive coordinator 1 year that was there?
Chad Morris?
Yeah, Chad Morris is of the world and being putrid.
Well, you mentioned it earlier. We'll say this before we get to break. Arkansas and those teams near the bottom of the conference right now, or even the bottom third, the fact is – teams like Arkansas just got bumped down two more spots automatically because Texas and Oklahoma just walked in.
Right.
And just said, hello, welcome to the show.
You know, and that could be like exponentially even more because since Texas and Oklahoma are in the SEC, Alabama, LSU, Auburn, Georgia, they have to even go harder.
Bingo.
So that just continues to just bury a team and program like Arkansas.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. All right, let's get to our final break. I almost plugged the phone number, but that doesn't work. We'll take our final break, come back. Yeah, it will eventually. Again, you can tweet at me at GoIt's2Jacob. Get your thoughts and comments on there. We'll keep talking more kickoff times with Auburn and around the SEC as we wrap up hour number one after this.
are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Wrapping up hour number one here on the Friday edition of On the Line. Hope you're all doing well. Hope you all have big weekend plans. I haven't checked the weather. I was supposed to be playing golf this weekend, but not sure if the weather's going to hold up, but we will see. We've been talking about kickoff times around the first three games for Auburn football and some of the other interesting ones around the SEC, Uncle T-Bone. You look in week one, the big game that we already knew what the time was going to be, Clemson and Georgia over in Atlanta. That'll be an 11 a.m. kickoff time on ABC. You have Miami and Florida in week one that will be playing at 2:30. You better believe it.
Billy Napier needs that one.
Shoot, they need everything. They need anything they can get. That is one of the most brutal schedules in college football. It's the hardest schedule in college football. It is. I'll go out and say that. I mean, it's for a coach that's fighting for his life, a coach that is fighting for his job, to have that schedule. We've talked about it before, and we will throughout the summer too. I mean, it's miserable what they have to do. And if Billy Napier makes it through the season without being fired, I think that's a miracle in itself.
Well, he's got some problems off the field now too.
Well, yeah, but
a massive lawsuit, and it's enough to deal with what he has on the field.
His comments about that were interesting too. Did you hear that?
They you know, I mean, he's basically saying that everyone told him it's okay, we got your back. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'd believe that, big dog.
Yeah, I don't know.
He will be the first person that gets thrown under the bus.
Yeah, ain't no doubt.
I mean, and that's the type of situation where if it goes south for you, mm-hmm. they're going to fire you with cause.
Yeah, there's no doubt. They will. They'll keep their money and they'll go find somebody else. And so, Florida, yeah, playing Miami in week one. How about Notre Dame, Texas A&M? That'll be the 6:30 game on ABC on that Saturday night. And then on Sunday, USC and LSU.
Did you see the article where for 2 years now, apparently, USC's been trying to get out of this game?
No.
Yeah, I saw some comments about it over at Tiger Droppings. That's an LSU site that
okay.
has multiple it's got an SEC rant site. It's
gotcha.
Got SEC
okay.
teams. A lot of people from around the country or college football fans get on that forum and bicker with one another. And seems like seems like Lincoln Riley did not like this matchup when he first came to USC.
I bet he didn't. I wouldn't want to walk in and have to play LSU to start the year as a new coach. Yeah, I'm okay to not play that game. Now, I wouldn't make it known that I'm trying to get out of the game, but I wouldn't be happy about
it
either.
That's one of those things where LSU probably let that one leak out.
Yeah, accidentally let that piece of news slip. Yeah,
they're
whoops.
Scared.
Which they probably are, and you know what? They probably should be.
You know, LSU has done about as good a job as anybody, not named Georgia, and then probably Alabama, but they're just about right there recruiting-wise with them under Brian Kelly. He's done a jam-up job recruiting.
And nobody's talking about it.
No, under the radar. I think just a lot of people think he's kind of goofy from all those videos where he's dancing with recruits and whatnot.
And his accent
and
all that
he's from up
mess.
North, yeah. And he tried to fake that accent and whatever, man. He's a good coach. He's a very solid coach who's got a lot of experience, and they always recruit well. And then they just went down there and got Bo Davis away from Texas to recruit that defensive line.
Yep.
But just look what they lost. Jaden Daniels and the two receivers in the first round.
Yep.
Of the NFL draft.
They got to find a way to replace it.
It's hard to replace it.
Yeah.
But if they can get some competent quarterback play out of Nussmeier, better watch out for that thing.
And that's a game to start the year, whether it's LSU, USC, or whatever. I think it was LSU, Florida State last year, whatever the case may be. If you win that game, you propel the start of your season, and you're off and running. You're feeling hot. If you lose that game, it's not the end of the world because that's a, quote, good loss, which I don't believe in that, but it kind of is. I mean, it's nobody's going to knock you for losing to LSU in week one or losing to USC
exactly.
in week one. But I mean, at the end of the
those
year,
are big boy program.
Yeah, for sure. And when it comes down to a playoff committee and a playoff selection, if you have that game on your resume, they're going to give you credit for winning it and they're not going to hold it against you for losing it. So I don't mind it. Here's what's exciting, though. You look at week two in the SEC and the games that are going to be happening. Of course, Auburn playing Cal. You mentioned this one earlier. Arkansas in Stillwater playing Oklahoma State, a game that should be very scary to Arkansas. How about Texas on the road in the Big House. They'll be taking on Michigan at 11 a.m. on Fox on that second week of SEC play. Talk about a fun game that'll be.
Yeah, it's just a massive matchup. Michigan will be the defending national champion without their head coach, who's now with the, I still call them the San Diego Chargers. I don't care what anybody says. And I think Texas is a team you better keep an eye on this year.
Yeah.
There's three teams really in the SEC that I think are just a cut above everyone else. And you could probably put them in a bag together and shake them up and pull them out. That's Texas, Georgia, and Alabama. And it's strictly because of their quarterback play and experience. And they're putting talent like Georgia, like Alabama around their quarterback, who's got a load of experience and will be one of the best players in college football.
See, there's a lot of people that think Texas is overrated, that Texas is not going to be as good as people keep saying they're going to be.
Yeah, well, there's some people that think the earth is flat, too.
Also in week two, Houston on the road at Oklahoma. Tennessee on the road at NC State there in Charlotte, North Carolina. That'll be interesting. And, of course, South Florida visiting Tuscaloosa. Hour number one in the books. We've got some more football things to talk about. Lots of basketball news to get to as well. And we'd love to hear from you on Twitter. Tweet at me at Goins2Jacob. No phone lines, but you can get in there. Hour number two coming up.
Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You know, use it to their advantage and kind of poke at people and get out on the recruiting trail and, mm-hmm. and negative recruit if they're going up against, say, Eric Winters for Auburn right down Enterprise, because that seems to be Auburn's biggest competition for him, the four-star safety who should be in town this weekend to visit Auburn. Well, they say, we're such a good program now and own them so much. Just look at the last 15 years or more. We own Auburn. We own them so much. They're our homecoming. Of course they will. Well, Alabama fans make fun of Auburn and say, Alabama's never been anybody's homecoming. Roll Tide. Of course. But quite frankly, if you just take a rational look at their schedule,
yeah,
it's just not really that big a deal.
Yeah, and, you know, on a side note, just looking at Georgia's schedule, to go down that path for a second, it's a real schedule, and I jokingly said that, but I'm not joking about it anymore. Like, look at this. This is a legit schedule for them. And, yes, they've got one of the best teams, if not the best team in the country, but you mentioned it. Clemson to open up. They've got Tennessee Tech, whatever. At Kentucky, third game of the year to open up SEC
play. On a Saturday night.
But
on ABC.
I refuse. I'm not doing it. I have fallen into that trap for 3 years now. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to buy in.
If that were Missouri, you might want to buy in.
I've tried to hype up that Kentucky game for Georgia, and I've tried to make that the game of the year in the SEC, what used to be the SEC East. And you know what Georgia does every time? They smack them around like a dog. That's what they've done every time. So I'm done. I'm not going to hype it up. But a road game in the SEC at night to open up SEC play, sure, why not? Then they have a bye week. They will. They'll have a bye week. Then they go to Tuscaloosa for a night game at Alabama. That's a tough game. That's a really tough game.
That's saying a lot. Of course it's a tough game. They'll be most likely competing right there in that football game to see who possibly could be the number one seed in the college football playoff.
But in a three-game stretch in a four-week time, they go at Kentucky, at Alabama, and then they come home for Auburn. An Auburn team that I've told you I think will be 5-0 when they go to Athens. Every bit of 4-1.
It's a good time to catch Georgia finally after playing at Alabama. It seems like for a very long time that Georgia's called Auburn, they really haven't needed the help at a very fortuitous time in their schedule since moving it away from the end of the year more towards the middle of the season, which I'm still not sure that I'm in complete agreement with. But at this point, there's no point in being a purist in college football because the only constant's change.
Yeah, and that was a big deal when it happened, but I don't care anymore. I like it. I like that it's separated because it gives Auburn a break. Man, they were going through the worst possible stretch of the season. They had to play two national championship games before they ever got to the SEC championship game. Like, it was miserable.
Play Georgia again in the SEC championship
game.
It's
so
ridiculous.
So then after Auburn goes to Georgia, Georgia hosts Mississippi State. They go on the road to Austin, Texas to take on the Longhorns. I cannot wait for that game. That's in October on the 19th. They play Florida in the neutral site game at Ole Miss, home for Tennessee, home for UMass, home for Georgia Tech.
That's brutal.
That's a tough schedule for Georgia. And you know what? Good. They need a good, tough schedule. And I'll say this. They don't go undefeated in this schedule. There's a loss in there somewhere.
There are four teams that I see on this schedule who could be, and Georgia being at their schedule, making it five, that could be in the college football playoffs.
From the SEC.
Absolutely. From the SEC alone. And those include Alabama, Texas, Ole Miss, and Tennessee, if things fall right for the Vols. You know, that's one of the harder Georgia schedules. And then, actually, and I'm going to go ahead and say this, maybe five teams that they have to play because Clemson as well.
Yeah, depending on what happens with them in the ACC.
If you're Clemson there, you've got all the opportunity in the world to make a statement. But that's like that USC-LSU game. You lose that game, it's not that big a deal in the grand scheme of things.
I think it's a bigger deal for Georgia.
Oh, I don't. Well, it could be because of their schedule.
I do. I think if Georgia loses week one against Clemson, I think people start to flip out. I don't think you should, but I think people will.
I'll say this. You want to lose early.
Sure.
In the new format, you want to lose early. You don't. And that's one thing that hasn't changed. In trying to get to the playoffs in college football.
That's a good point.
If you're Clemson there and you don't get that game, but you keep it close, you just keep on rolling.
Keep on rolling. Keep on trucking, right? Because Clemson's schedule, I'm pulling it up right now, it can't be that difficult. The ACC's terrible. I mean, the ACC's a joke. They're going to play what? They have their toughest game this year is at Florida State.
I mean, Florida State's going to be pretty good, bud.
They are. But, I mean, it's their toughest game. That's what I'm saying. But everything else is home or on the road.
Toughest game after they play Georgia.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The toughest game in conference. How about that? Toughest game in conference for Clemson. But no, overall, I think when you start looking at some SEC schedules, in particular with Auburn, those five home games plus your month of October where you don't play a home game inside of Jordan-Hare Stadium, I still think that's the fact that Auburn's schedule is so lopsided where it's five straight home games, then no games at home in October, and then, okay, let's just end the year with three straight home games and then on the road at Alabama. Like, I refuse to believe there's not a way to break that up.
You know, bear sales will be strong in the Lee County area during September, right? I'm with you. I don't understand it, but I'll say this. This is a year that I don't quite mind it because Auburn desperately needs to – I think they found rock bottom last year, and they need to climb up out of that and just set a foundation. And what better way to do that than have five straight home games in your second year?
Sure.
This is advantageous to Auburn big time this year, and I know it stinks for the fans. And it stinks for all the media that covers Auburn.
Everybody in the city that works around this event. I mean, it's a long 5 weeks,
whoa,
man.
Oh, my gosh. But I love football, especially later in October on the plains. It's just awesome, especially at night when it cools off finally.
Oh, yeah.
But this is a good opportunity for Auburn to go 5-0. And the fifth game in a row is the hardest one out of the other four at home.
Mm-hmm.
They could be building some real momentum here, Jacob, going up against Oklahoma and get past the Sooners. That is not a program trajectory changer if you win. I don't think the next week would be against Georgia. It'd mean you're back. But but that is something that can pivot the season and keep it going in a positive direction no matter what happens at Georgia the next week.
Do you agree that this is an easy, just in a a lazy term, is this an easy schedule for Auburn? Because I have a follow-up question to this.
It's an easier schedule for Auburn than I've seen in a very long time.
Well, that was going to be my next question. You've been around just a couple years longer than I have. Compare this. I mean, in comparison to Auburn football schedules, I know you're digging deep on that one. And guys like Bill Cameron who come on after us, he'll have a good answer there, too.
Yeah.
I mean,
put
this schedule in comparison to the ones you've seen in the past. In my lifetime, it's the easiest schedule I've seen.
I've had many a cold snack over the years to have to go back and try and remember. I do seem to remember around 2009 in Chizik's first season. That seemed like a little bit easier schedule than normal. Auburn had a massive hiccup against Kentucky that year, who had Randall Cobb, who played like every single position that night on the field.
That guy's a beast.
And it should have been a Heisman candidate. I can't remember if he was invited to New York. I don't think he was that season. Still playing pro football. He's that good. And that was in Auburn. And Chris Todd, the quarterback for Auburn's arm, went dead. He had kind of had it banged up, that shoulder. And it was a weird day that day. It was in mid to late October, and this front came through all of a sudden. It went from like being 82, 84 degrees to like 58.
Mm-hmm.
And it rained, and the wind got up,
and
the windshield got down, and his arm went downhill the whole game. And Auburn just could not get – played a decent enough game to win, but just couldn't get past Randall Cobb, who's the difference maker in that football game. Those teams were very even. You know, they played West Virginia that year out of conference at home, took care of business. They were without Pat White. They caught Alabama at home that year and took them to the wire like they've done so many times at Jordan-Hare Stadium. The SEC, I don't think that year was great, if I remember correctly, outside of Alabama and Florida, who met in the SEC championship game. And I don't think Auburn played Florida that year. So that year comes to mind to me. But as a whole in my lifetime, this is easily – I don't want to say one of the easier schedules that Auburn has, because you never know what's going to happen. This, on paper, heading into it, is one of the most manageable.
I think that's a really good way to put it, manageable, because the schedule's not easy. I mean, take any Big Ten, ACC, or Big 12 team and plop them in this schedule. They struggle to get 8 wins. The average team out of those conferences in this schedule alone struggles to get 8 wins. But in terms of what Auburn has had to do their entire existence of college football and playing in the SEC West, just look at it. You're playing 4 teams from the SEC East, the East that used to be. You used to play 2. You'd play Georgia and one more crossover. Now you get Georgia, Missouri, Kentucky, and Vanderbilt. They just happen to all be in a row. But you get 4 from that side of the conference. And those are supposed to be wins more times than not, outside of the Georgia outlier. The teams from that side historically should be wins for Auburn.
If you look at this schedule compared to Georgia's, and we just went through Georgia's schedule, we identified 5-4 in conference, 1 out of conference in Clemson, identified 5 true possible teams that could get into the college football playoff.
The expanded college football playoff.
Yep. There's going to be 12 teams this year, folks.
Mm-hmm.
I only see 3 on Auburn's schedule. So, of course, it's more manageable. You got Georgia, you got Missouri, and you got Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Out of everybody else that we play, I don't see anybody else who I would put as a true contender to get in the college football playoff, and that includes Oklahoma, who I still think is a little overrated in some of these preseason rankings, and their schedule is brutal.
Yeah. Yes. Shoot.
It's really bad.
Their schedule is horrible.
Especially.
Oh, my goodness.
And
Oklahoma
so,
got the hose.
You know, I'm not prepared to go through and make a season prediction yet. That'll come after the 4th of July when I've done all my homework. But just all on paper – as well as Auburn played Georgia and Alabama last year, and I know that's it. That was in Jordan-Hare.
Mm-hmm.
They took them to the mat.
Yeah.
They took Alabama beyond the mat. They had them.
Well, yeah.
I mean, and who knows what Missouri's going to do. They're getting a lot of credibility. Their schedule's even easier than Auburn's, I believe. If I remember correctly, I have to go back and look. But Missouri can always do a Missouri thing.
Of course.
And just, you know what, the bed.
Yeah, well, but that's what I'm saying, too.
That could happen at any time for a program like them.
Sure.
So yeah, I mean, I look at it, and I'm like, you know, Auburn could, if the ball bounces the right way, you know, Auburn could win 9 games here.
And I'll say this as we get to break. I know we've gone way past it. I'm saying this is the easiest schedule, and that includes Auburn going to Athens and to Tuscaloosa.
That's remarkable. That is remarkable. And, you know, and like you said, if they were and years normally like that, you'd be like, oh, boy, Murder's Row.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, all right, well, here we go. Like, two losses, right? That's what it's been recently because it's just been miserable for Auburn to make those road trips. But the games outside of those are manageable. And that's the word you used, and I think that's the word we need to run with. This is a very manageable, winnable schedule for Auburn in year two, where, again, if you know me, I say this, year two as a head coach in Hugh Freeze, this is when progress has to start being made. This is where the transition goes from the previous staff, previous regime. This is where everything starts to really make that transition with wins, with discipline, with fundamentals. All of those things have to have a visible difference on the field, off the field in year two, and Auburn has a chance to do that with Hugh Freeze. We'll take our first break here in hour number two. Again, no phone lines. We apologize for that, but more things to talk about when we come back. We'll get to some more on the basketball side after this here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
We continue on here on the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He's Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goins. You got a text over there, huh, Uncle T-Bone? What's on your mind?
Yeah, I think it's something we got to talk about. Got a very interesting text from the Pit Master. Thanks, buddy, for listening to us. He says, Oklahoma and Texas will find out real quick about playing in the SEC, and I got to agree with him, except for the fact that if you look at the two schedules that the teams have, Texas has a cakewalk compared to Oklahoma. Oklahoma's about to find out what the SEC gauntlet is like and having to run it. Texas got such a break from the SEC home office. It is ridiculous. Let's go through them first.
Texas has a Georgia-like schedule.
An old Georgia-like schedule, no doubt about it. Look, they do play at Michigan. That's going to be a tough game. I think they'll take care of business there. Colorado State, Michigan, Texas San Antonio, who's not a bad football program, and Louisiana Monroe, okay? Those are your first four games out of conference.
See, I'm not sold if they win at Michigan. I don't know. I think they'll be a better team, but going up to the big house is no joke.
Yeah, and those Michigan fans are going to want it, no doubt about it. That could have been a national championship matchup.
Mm-hmm.
So they go those first four games. All right, whatever happens, happens. But listen to this SEC schedule that they get to draw. Hosting Mississippi State for their very first true SEC conference game.
Woohoo!
That'll be a bloodletting. Then they get a bye, and then go to Dallas to play Oklahoma, who they're used to playing.
Who they're going to be better than.
Then they get to host Georgia, which will be a very brutal football game.
I cannot wait. That's one of the games of the year.
That's got to be ABC at night.
Oh, there ain't no doubt. Ain't no doubt about
barred,
it. It's either going to be that early game, that, you know, that noon game on ESPN.
That'd be a shame, man.
Or, yeah. I mean, that's one of the prime slots now. ESPN's trying to battle it.
I don't know how I'm going to deal with that. That's just not my DNA. That's like the Bloody Mary game when I was growing up with the three Daves on Jefferson Pilot. You know, mix them up, throw them up, you know, LSU versus Arkansas or Mississippi State. Right. And so then they get at Vandy, win. Host Florida, win at Arkansas, who they've played historically a ton of times up in Northwest Arkansas. And you said it at the break, Arkansas may not have a head coach by then. Win.
Florida may not either.
Good point. Kentucky in Austin, win at Texas A&M, their blood brother rival in College Station. Now that'll be wild. That'll be must watch television as well. So that's not really like the traditional brutal gauntlet that some teams have to run the SEC, especially teams like Auburn.
That's easy.
That's
an easy
compared
schedule
to everybody else.
Compared to Oklahoma, who just, I mean, I don't know what they did to upset the SEC and Greg Sankey on their way in. I don't know if they smelled bad when they got in there or whatever, but the SEC did not do them any good. And I would be livid if I'm Oklahoma and what they have to do this year.
Let's go through this real quick. You just can't exaggerate. This is compared to what Texas drew, compared to what Arkansas drew. how much more difficult it is. This is ridiculous. All right, they'll host Temple to open up, whatever. They do play Houston in Norman. That'll be a tough ball game.
That's a really fun game.
Yeah, Houston's got a heck of a quarterback. Then they'll play Tulane, who's not our mom and dad's Tulane anymore.
No.
Do I expect them to
that's
be
That's not
what
at
they
Tulane,
have been?
Is it?
No, that's in
okay.
Norman
they
as well.
They didn't make that mistake.
You know, they lost the Pratt kid at quarterback. But still, I mean, that's a decent – that's a hard-nosed little football program right there that you have a bad day on can take you to the wire.
You better
Then they open up their SEC run. Listen to this, Jacob. They'll host Tennessee.
How awesome is that?
At Auburn. In Dallas against Texas. That's a scratch. They're used to playing each other. They get a break here and host South Carolina. At Ole Miss. Get a homecoming game probably at this point against the Maine Black Bears. At Missouri. Hosting Alabama at LSU to end the season.
Oh,
I mean, get you some of that. How's that taste?
That is brutal. I mean, just by not fully being updated on Oklahoma, we'll do our deep dive on all these SEC teams throughout the summer. I mean, I count. You already know I think they're going to lose when they come here. So there's one. They'll lose to Texas. That's two. They'll lose at Ole Miss. That's three.
I mean, they're going to lose to us. They're going to lose to Tennessee.
At Missouri is four. Alabama's five. At LSU is six. Goodness.
I mean,
is Oklahoma going to be below 500 their first year in the SEC?
I hope so.
We got 30 more minutes here on the Friday edition of On the Line. Auburn basketball talk coming up next here on ESPN 106.7.
Folks, buying a home or property can be the biggest investment of your life. Making sure you have a clear title and the closing go as smoothly as possible is as important to the Wisdom Firm LLC as it is to you. The Wisdom Firm's licensed to close any property purchase in the entire state of Alabama. With offices on Big Creek Drive in Auburn and Highway 49 South at beautiful Lake Martin, the Wisdom Firm has you covered. Give Travis and his team a call at 826-0722 or check them out at auburnlegal.com for all of your real estate closing needs. The next time you purchase real estate, tell your lender or agent, close us at the Wisdom Firm. The representation is made by the quality of legal services is greater than the quality of legal services made by other attorneys.
Dip your toe in the H2O this summer with Splash Pools. Splash Pools specializes in design and construction of custom liner or gunite pools. Now offering weekly pool maintenance services to East Alabama, sit back and relax while Splash Pools designs, builds, and maintains your dream pool from start to finish. Check out Splash Pools' amazing gallery of work and customer testimonials at backyardvacation.com. From design to installation on any pools, spas, or hardscapes, dip your toe in the H2O with Splash Pools, your backyard vacation.
Curb Technologies helps make your job look easy. Utilizing three important components for a successful project, Curb Technologies follows through with service, customization, and quality assurance. An industry leader in roof curb applications, Curb Technologies partners with national manufacturers like Carrier, Lennox, and Johnson Controls. For more information, give Curb Technologies a call at 334-826-9538. Curb Technologies, they make your project look easy.
Hey, everybody. Jacob Goins here, host of On the Line on ESPN 106.7 from 2 to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. Get the latest on Auburn athletics for some of the best the Auburn Sports Network has to offer. Jacob Hillman joins me on Mondays at 3:30, and Brad Law visits with me on Thursdays at 2:30 as we get you ready for another big weekend of Auburn athletics. That's Jacob Hillman on Mondays at 3:30 and Brad Law on Thursdays at 2:30 from the Auburn Sports Network here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7 and at ESPNAU.com.
Mike Greenberg is Greeny.
If I showed you a picture of four different superheroes, could you identify which one is Batman?
I know that he's masked.
You couldn't just identify a picture of Batman?
Without the mask?
Without the mask. There is no Batman. He's a fictitious character. Just showed you a picture of Superman and a picture of Batman, would you know which one was which?
Yeah, I would. But don't do it now. Let me Google it first.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg. Mornings 9 to 11 on ESPN 106.7.
Are on the line with Jacob Goins on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Friday edition of On the Line. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. We appreciate you all tuning in, being with us on this gorgeous Friday afternoon here in the Auburn-Opelika area. If you're looking to be a part of the show, no phone lines, but you can tweet at me. That's at Goins2Jacob. That's G-O-I-N-S, the number 2, J-A-C-O-B. You can get your thoughts, comments, questions, and concerns there on the X, I guess. It's not Twitter anymore. It's X, formerly known as Twitter. That's how they are saying it nowadays, Uncle T-Bone. I know you're all caught up on that. But you can get on there, and we do want to hear from you. We apologize for the phone still being down from the nasty storms from over the weekend. We've teased it enough. Let's get to the basketball side of things, because there's a lot to talk about with Auburn basketball. The roster has been finalized. We now are seeing some top 25, some way too early top 25s, power rankings, all that type of stuff. And the hype is real. Auburn basketball is going to be really, really good. And the SEC is going to be good, too. We're going to get to some SEC news as we go. But this Auburn basketball roster looks stacked, Uncle Tebow.
Yeah, I haven't been on air since the final edition. Miles Kelly, the wing from Georgia Tech, last couple of seasons, averaged 14 and a half points a game, roughly 14 points a game, somewhere in there. He's a little bit bigger guard. Decided he was going to be a transfer. I won't say graduate transfer. Transfer to Auburn, and that was the last piece they were looking for. Mm-hmm. Some type of either point guard or hybrid point wing. It looks like to me he's more of a wing. And that means that the one of the freshmen coming in will probably play some point as well. I mean, people forget Denver Jones can play some point as well. Also, so, you know, look, we kind of missed on some players that we thought were coming in. Some of those may or may not have been as serious a candidate to come in as perhaps some of the media made them out to be. You know, those type of stories are interesting, and they get clicks, and it builds up a lot of momentum. A couple of them, or one of them at least, was very serious and was told by a lot of media folks to everybody that he was, you know, almost a lead pipe lock, and then decided not being there. I'm just thankful that Auburn got this taken care of now, right before Memorial Day, because their summer workouts are going to start here shortly. And we both agreed on air, along with several callers, that roster needed to be complete and they could all work out together.
Yeah, and the good thing here with Kelly is that officially yesterday he pulled his name out of the NBA draft. He was testing that, and the deadline was the 29th at midnight, I think. And so they learned that in the last couple of days that he pulled his name out. He will not be going to the draft, and he is of course, coming to Auburn. That was the expectation since he committed to transfer to Auburn, but he had not officially done it yet. So it is good to see that he will be coming to Auburn. Last year at Georgia Tech, he was their go-to guy, averaged 14 points a game, also got 5.5 rebounds and almost 2 assists per game. I mean, that's their go-to guy who's coming in to be and seems to have agreed to be a role-playing guard on this team. He won't start, but he'll be a role-playing guy and hopefully get some significant minutes in this team.
Yeah, 6'5", rangy player.
I've seen 6'6", too.
Can get to the basket, pull up and shoot from just about anywhere, fired up from deep, pick and roll guy. You can go over with Brian Matthews over to auburnsports.com. There's an article out there today on the front page where it shows a lot of video. I highly recommend joining that website and checking out this video. This kid can play. Okay, this is I don't think this is some type of situation where you can definitively say, well, Auburn settled. They missed on everybody. They were going after Uncle T-Bone. This kid was a go-to guy for Georgia Tech in the ACC. So a really good get for Auburn to close out the roster. You got to think on paper that Auburn's guard play has improved from last year's. You know, I'd like to say I'm done taking cheap shots at Aiden Holloway. I'm not, but that's not a cheap shot. I mean, that's just a fact. Trey Donaldson and Aiden Holloway compared to the Pegues guy and Kelly, I'd take my chances with what we got now compared to what we had.
And I still hate to see Trey Donaldson go. I do. I hate to see that. And
I'm a big Trey Donaldson.
He's going to be a superstar at Michigan.
Wish him nothing but the best.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because Auburn fans have jumped on Aiden Holloway even more with the recent news that Alabama got a couple of days ago that Mark Sears is officially coming back for one more year in Tuscaloosa. Let me start by saying this, and we'll get back to Auburn in a second.
Right.
Let me start by saying this. That's a heck of a get for Alabama.
Oh,
and I said
gosh.
This on Doug's show yesterday. That is a get. That is an addition for that Alabama team because he was very well. I think he was almost gone and was really considering the NBA because I think he had a chance to do something. And if you're a smart coach, in my opinion, if you were Nate Oates, you start preparing like he's gone. You start preparing like he's not coming back. And that seemed to be what they sold Aiden Holloway. Right? Seems like he may have been sold a dream or something up there. And then all of a sudden, Mark Sears, he says, hold the phone. My spot's not going anywhere. I'm coming back to Tuscaloosa. That makes them, they were already a really good team and a really good roster without him on it. The fact that they were able to bring him back for another year, that makes them a top 10 team in the country.
So when he put his name into the NBA draft, I remember the conversation you and I had on air. And I said he was gone. You said he was coming back, and this is not an Auburn fan, you know, kind of trying to not jab at Alabama or be bitter about him coming back and saying what I'm about to say. I can't believe he's coming back because I don't see any way possible his draft stock improves. I mean, what's he got to do other than maybe leading them to a national title to get any better? Is he going to get any better than he is now? I mean, was he the SEC Player of the Year? Okay, that's right. Dalton Connect was. But he could have been.
He was in the running, yeah.
And, he's not going to grow another inch or two.
That's not typically how that works.
Yeah, I mean, there's no growth spurt coming here. I just don't really understand what else he can do. And it makes me wonder what kind of news he got from the NBA. We sat here the last time I was on this show and in studio watched ESPN, and there was an NBA developed summer game going on. Mm-hmm. And Mark Sears was on that roster. He didn't play a lot in that game.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he didn't have but one choice, and that was he had to come back.
And maybe so.
And good for him and good for Alabama because I'm sure he probably got around $1 million to come back.
Well, Auburn fans should be very worried that he's coming back because
the whole SEC should be.
That makes Alabama the best roster in the SEC right now.
That makes them number one in heading into next season.
A lot of people have it that way. A lot of people have them as the top team in the country with their roster.
I mean, there was a preseason ranking that was out before he had definitively said he was coming back. That was on CBS Sports. We talked about that the last time I was here. They had Alabama 9, Auburn 10. He's back. Some of these people are jumping up to 2, jumping up to 1.
Andy Katz at CBSSports.com has Alabama as number one in the country.
They're worthy of a top 10 ranking for sure. I think once you get into the top 10, you really got to dissect things. And you really got to know your basketball way more than I do. But if people like that are putting them that high, then, heck, they should just win the national title. Why don't we just go ahead and give it to them?
Sure. Why not?
I mean, Nate's got this.
No way they can lose.
Ain't no way they can't win the national title with that roster, right?
Well, Andy Katz has him as number one in his Power 36. He does this all the time, and it's a really good you should follow him if you're a college basketball guy. He has Auburn at 11, and, I think it's low. I think Auburn's a top 10 team. I think Auburn's a top 10 roster. But the fact that Mark Sears came back for Alabama is, it's massive. You can't put it into words how big that is for them. I think Doug may have said this too. You put it on comparison. The fact that Alabama brings back Mark Sears and Auburn brings back Jahni Broome. I mean,
that's crazy.
Two of the best top five players in the SEC from a year ago, and here they are. They're coming back for another year.
Don't you think that along with Wade Taylor IV, they'll be battling for SEC Player of the Year?
Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. I think Jahni Broome wins SEC Player of the Year.
He can. There's no doubt about it. Look, it's a sexy pick to put them that high. Heck of a run to the Final Four. Hey, they gave UConn all they wanted there for a hot minute.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that game got into the second half before UConn really got rolling. And if Alabama had made a few more shots in the first half, they'd have put a lot of pressure on the Huskies.
Yeah.
They just didn't knock back enough baskets to give them a buffer against the best team in college basketball and program in college basketball currently over the last 2-3 years. Fact.
Not even close, yeah.
And so it's a sexy pick. There's a lot of expectation. The narrative with Nate Oates is he's one of the best college basketball coaches out there right now. They're going to jump. It's a bandwagon pick, too, when it gets to this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, has it changed in from 1 year to the other for Nate Oates? 2 years ago, I mean, the national media was all over him about Brandon Miller and the other player on it, the other players involved with a shooting and killing in Tuscaloosa, and some of the words he used, which I don't think he did on purpose. It just came out wrong. I think some of that criticism was fair. A lot of it was unfair, but they were all over him heading into that tournament. And now the Alabama would be lucky to keep him away from being the next coach for the Celtics.
Yeah.
You know, so these type of and look, they're worthy of being that ranking. Grant Nelson will improve. He had a heck of a NCAA tournament, especially that game against North Carolina,
mm-hmm.
where he dominated late in that game. But this is also when teams that haven't been there as national champions stub their toe. And you got to be careful not to get that hype machine too out of control.
Oh.
Start taking that rat poison. And you got to be real careful about it. Look, I've seen, you know, until you get over the hump and get a national championship, no matter how good a roster you are, or how talented your roster is, or how great your coaches are, you still haven't gotten there. And it's a lot easier to get there again, I think, in basketball than to get there and get over the hump the first time.
I want to get back to Auburn for a second here. I know you're not on social media, Uncle T-Bone, the videos have continued to circle around of this young man who is going to be at Auburn as a 6'6 freshman at 185 pounds. Neville Arena is not ready for when Ja'Kai Howard steps in and does a windmill fast break dunk with no time left. They're not ready for this. This guy is a freak of nature. It is awesome to see. He's played at Overtime Elite. He's from Boston, Massachusetts. A guy that is one of the top players in the country is coming in. Nobody's really talking about him, but me and some of my buddies have been going back and watching a lot of this, and I mean, he does windmill dunks. He'll do between the legs. I mean, he'll do off the backboard. Like, for a guy that's been playing high level high school basketball, the first time he does that on a breakaway when Auburn's up by 20 and they just yam it on somebody, the place is going to go insane. And Ja'Kai Howard is going to be a lot of fun. I don't know how much playing time he gets as a freshman on a stacked roster for Auburn this season, but I am so excited about him. Between him and Tahad Pettifer, two elite freshmen that are stepping in this season, I can't wait, man. It's going to be really exciting to see what they do inside of Neville Arena.
Brother Jacob, I love you, and I'm going to take your word for it. But you know my new theory on hype.
Yeah.
Until I see it with my own eyes in person, I will not believe the hype because of Jabba.
Okay.
And there's been plenty of good recruits, and I'm not saying this is a shot at Bruce Pearl, that I've heard a lot of hype about in basketball come in and just not really do anything.
No, you're right.
The reason why I'm believing the Cam Coleman hype is because I saw that in person, him playing in high school, and he was a freak.
Now,
if I had been living up in the Northeast or in Norcross, Georgia, where this kid was originally from, this Ja'Kai Howard kid, and I'd been to his high school games and I'd seen him doing all those things, I'd be on here going crazy about him. But until I see it myself,
look it up on YouTube.
Until
man.
I see, I don't. I've seen videos. I trust your judgment and your friends. I mean, y'all are great guys, but I'm gonna have to see it before I believe it.
That's okay. That's all right. Look,
fact.
Those are the words of a burned Auburn fan, ladies and gentlemen. That's what that
fool
is.
Fool me once. Fool me twice. Fool me 5,000 times. It's called Jabba.
That is an experienced Auburn veteran right there, man. Let me tell you what. Well, let's get to our final break. We'll come back and wrap it up. It's a big recruiting weekend for Auburn football. I want to get those names there. Talk about that really quickly as we wrap it up here on what's been a wild week here at ESPN 106.7. We'll wrap it all up when we come back here from 2 to 4. Don't forget Bill and Dan coming up on the drive after us, but we'll wrap it up for our show after this here on ESPN 106.7.
are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Winding down here on the Friday edition of On the Line. We've said it a lot of times, but man, we appreciate you all being with us here today on the Friday edition of the show in what has been an unpredictable, unprecedented week here at ESPN. We do appreciate it. And weather knocked us out, and our wonderful, wonderful people that are much smarter than we are, who got us back up and running on all six of our family radio stations here at Auburn Network. So thank you to them, and thank you to you for bearing with us, whether it's here on ESPN, whether it's on Wings, WANI, whichever one you listen to. We do appreciate you sticking with us. No phones, and we hope to get those worked out and fixed soon. But yeah, it's been a crazy week, and I couldn't tell you the last time I went almost an entire week without doing radio. It felt kind of weird, but it felt good to be back, man. We had a lot to go through today. I don't think we hit it all, but we did pretty good. I think we did all right.
Yeah, it's just been a lot of fun to be back on air. Thank you so much for staying with us, folks. It was just a weird week, and again, thanks to the staff here at the Auburn Network. Just folks, you don't realize they worked basically 24/7 to get us back on air. If they had not got after it like they did, we would not be here today, that's for sure.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. So we appreciate everybody who made this possible, and again, appreciate you sticking with us and listening here on this Friday afternoon. Before we get out of here, it is a busy weekend recruiting on the plains for Auburn football, a busy month, really. The month of June is going to be insane. We had Christian Clemente in here late last week to talk about all of this, and it was a week ago today. The last show we did was Christian Clemente with us in hour number one. Listen to some of these names that are here this weekend in Auburn. You do have a three-star offensive lineman who is already committed to Auburn, Tay Buster. He will be here. You have Kalen Edwards, a four-star defensive lineman from Tennessee. He is going to be here this weekend. You have four-star linebacker Elijah Melendez, who's a Miami commit, but he is going to be on the plains. Four-star tight end Amari Winston, a Texas commit, so you've got a couple of big-time other commits that are going to be on campus. A four-star offensive tackle, Broderick Shull from Oklahoma, the number 20 offensive tackle in the country, will be here. Four-star corner Blake Woodby, a guy that we were talking about during the break. He backed off his Ohio State commit about a month ago. Ohio State still after him, some big schools, Georgia, Oregon, Cincy, Ohio State, and of course Auburn. He will be on campus this weekend. He is the number 8 corner in the class. And then a couple of big 5-stars, Uncle T-Bone. Naeem Offord, who is an Ohio State commit. All right, he's still committed to the Buckeyes, but a 5-star corner will be on campus this weekend.
Yeah, that's Parker High up in Birmingham. Looking at some other schools, obviously Alabama's in the mix. He's been with Ohio State for a little bit. They've been throwing around a lot of money in Columbus, Ohio, with their NIL program. It's going to be tough to pry him away. But he was on campus a bunch last fall. Auburn's got a good relationship with him, and this weekend's going to be huge for the Tigers.
Yeah, listen to these numbers from 247. He's the number 6 overall player in the class, number 2 corner, and the number 1 player in the state of Alabama.
I mean, that's strong as train smoke, man. Those type players that Hugh Freeze and staff continue to recruit. I think I like Auburn's chances a lot better with DJ Durkin as defensive coordinator and Charles Kelly here as opposed to Ron Roberts, who's now down in Florida with Billy Napier.
And the other big 5-star that's on campus is on the offensive side, a wide receiver, Caleb Cunningham, who is out of Choctaw County over Mississippi, the state next door. He's a number 13 overall player, the number 2 receiver in the class, and the number 1 player out of the state of Mississippi. A guy that Auburn has been on for a long time, Caleb Cunningham, a 5-star receiver. Auburn's going after another one.
Yeah, McGriff and Hugh Freeze and Ken Austin and that staff with a tremendous amount of connection still in the state of Mississippi, utilizing every one of them to try and persuade Mr. Cunningham to commit to Auburn and come play. Could you imagine? He's a bigger receiver along the lines of Cam Coleman and Perry Thompson. If they lock down a couple of more 4- and 5-star receivers in this class, Jacob, you're talking about in a 2-year period some of the greatest Auburn recruiting at the wide receiver position of all time.
Yeah, literally, of all time. And with this guy, I think Ole Miss is the team to beat, just being from Mississippi. They've been on him early. He is taking more official visits, Bama, Tennessee, Florida, and Auburn. So, big. I mean, all the biggest names in the SEC are all over this kid. But, man, this is a big weekend that kicks off Auburn football recruiting in June. We'll take you into July. You'll have Big Cat weekend in late July, and then the season will start, and we know how recruiting goes during the season as well. I mean, there's kids on campus every home game, and Hugh Freeze and this staff, it doesn't sleep, it never stops. Recruiting's 24/7, 365 nowadays.
If you don't have the top players, you really don't have much of a chance in college football. This staff knows that about as well as anybody that's been at Auburn probably since Tommy Tuberville and that yep. staff, and look, these are the type names. These are the type schools that we're going up against. 4- and 5-star players, Ohio State, Bama, Texas. That's where you got to be.
That's right. Hey, we're out of time. We got to get out of here. It was a crazy week, but we appreciate it. We will be back on Monday. Uncle T-Bone, have a great weekend, man. Always enjoy having you in the studio. Thank you all so much again. We'll be back on Monday, I think. We will. 2-4 right here on ESPN 106.7. He's Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goins. Have a great weekend. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.